both in the 10:30 and in breakfast church services, we've been looking at what it means to have a contagious faith, to be people who naturally just share our faith with others. And Steve and Joe are going to continue to help us with that this morning. So Steve, are you coming up? Great. Joe, you starting off?
Would you want to go first or shall I?
You go first.
Oh, all right then.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. It's good to welcome you all back to our sort of spiritual home in some ways. It's great, isn't it? And Steve, why don't you start off and I'll cook?
Okay, mate, yeah.
Should we do that?
You do what you're good at and I'll do my best.
It makes so much more sense.
Try hard at.
You carry on.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to week three of a four-week series, Contagious. Christianity, as Andy said on week one, is much more caught than taught. Are we contagious? But anyway, a little time out before I start. Bit of a long intro this morning. Hope it's worth it. Instead of this time tomorrow, I want to take you back in time. This time, Thursday before last. I want to talk about being contagious out there and the proof of the pudding. This time, the Thursday before last, a team from this church were gearing up, putting the hot dogs in the saucepans and the bread in the toaster and the sauces out and everything to be part of Maybridge Keystone Centre Spring Watch Day. The Keystone Centre invite the whole community in for this. There's lots of stalls, lots of buzz going on about the place. Over 400 people, the great majority, local people from this estate came. It was great for us to be part of it. And you know, God was really there in power because he brought the mayor who came into the kitchen and he said to me, "Who are you?" I said, "Who are you?" He had a chain on and was dressed most peculiarly. But anyway, he was the mayor. And he said, "Who are you?" I said, "Oh, well, we're a team from the church." "Which church?" he said. I said, "Maybridge Community Church." He said, "That's wonderful to see you're here." Wasn't that a great example of the church being contagious? Go forward a day. The Children and Family Centre came to our community cafe on Friday. They put out loads of information stalls, loads of help stalls, loads of bars for the kids, magicians, all sorts of stuff. It was fantastic, Dawn, wasn't it? A great show from the family centre. And we in the cafe, you know, we were frying those eggs and bouncing those sausages. And it was fabulous because we must have met, oh, I don't know, 40 or 50 new faces there who again said, "Are you a church? You all seem so happy." Strange that, isn't it? And again, what a wonderful way to be contagious. And then on Saturday, for those of you who are there, give me a reminder. House? Oh, not many of you there. We had our curry and bingo evening. Nearly 70 people, 45 or more, from completely outside the church, brought by church members. And again, we just blew a lot of those obstacles about church out of the water. Are we after their money? No, we're not. It was $2.50 for a curry, bingo, and prizes. Are we a bunch of weirdos? Well, maybe the jury's still out on that. I was the caller, yeah? And were we people who had fun and lived life to the full? Yes, we were. We got a lot of interest. So I just want you to give yourselves a round of applause if you're part of that as a team or brought someone. Go on, celebrate. Go on, do it. Well, I'm in the storytelling mood. Reaching the lost. Andy started us off with this 2 weeks ago when he said, "Why should we do this?" Wasn't it fantastic? Andy spoke about God's heart for the lost, how God goes to any lengths to find people. That's how much he values them. Yeah, he will pay any price to get them home. And when he does, there's a great knees up. Isn't that wonderful? And surely that's infectious to us. Instead of thinking that we're going to try and reach people through some duty or burden or, you know, we just do it out of an overflow of love, don't we? And that's what we're talking about. And then a couple of weeks later, we spoke about who does it? Who does it?
You.
Yes, you, not me. You. You point at me, three fingers are pointing back at you. Check it out. Okay, so we looked at the different styles that we have. Some of us are inviters, some of us are tellers of stories, some of us are servers, some of us are a bit full on and direct. I'll leave you to guess where I am on these things. Yeah, all kinds of styles, but there's a style that God has given you to reach the lost. It's not theory, it's practical for you. Let me tell you, if I may. Let me tell you if I may. Yeah? We tried that before and we concluded it was down there. Hit the button for me, Leona, would you? Thank you. Just one last story before we really get going. It's a touching, true story. A stone in the pond. Carl's family. Karen and I went some years ago to Holy Trinity Brompton for a conference, and there's a new ministry being featured, caring for ex-offenders. Karen was up for it. Karen's up for most things, actually, where the lost are concerned. I wasn't so keen, but we got into it, and we were the first church, I think, on the southeast coast to get involved. And the idea was that we would get to know people in Lewis Prison and then meet them on their release, help them find somewhere to live, something to do, and get them in a church family. We ran Alpha at Lewis Prison, and this Liverpudlian guy, Steve, came up to me afterwards. He was a real character. And he said, "Steve, I love Jesus." It brought a tear to my eye. He said, "I'd love to take you up on your offer to come to church, but I'm gay, and I know you won't want me." I said, "Oh, no, you're wrong there, Steve. I do want you." I said, "My belief is God loves you as you are. God loved me exactly as I am. But thank God he's made some changes in my life because I wasn't that great a bloke. And now I'm a little bit better." But I said, "No, do come." He said, "Well, the trouble is, I'm very withdrawn in some ways. I don't like to come on my own. My partner is in Winchester Prison." Quite a duo, these two. He said, "Will you pray with me that he gets early release and comes out the same day as me?" Man of great faith, I prayed with little expectancy. "Lord, will you release Carl the same day as Steve?" You know what happened, don't you? We picked up Steve, then we went and drove to Winchester and picked up Carl. We brought them home, found them somewhere to live. I had terrible stories of growing up, and Carl's story was absolutely amazing. His mother had tried to beat him to death with a stiletto heel. It just went on and on. But anyway, he was coming up to 21. He'd never had a party. And he said, "I'd love to have a 21st party." So we had one at our home. We threw a barbie, and we invited loads of our little church then. And he brought all of his family. There must have been, I don't know, 20 of them. It was packed to capacity of the house. And it was just the most marvelous day. I was riding on Cloud 9. Anyone been to Cloud 9? Wonderful place. I was there. But just 3 weeks later, they're both back on the white powder. 1 month later, they were both back in the neck. I was heartbroken. I kind of, you know, in that intellectual way said, "Oh, God must know what he's doing, and, you know, I did the best I could." But actually what I really felt was, "Oh, heaven's sake, I've had enough. I really did. I thought, what all that effort, what a commitment, you know." And I put it down. We pressed on best we could with the ex-offender scheme, but I was a bit dented. Thought no more of it. Nearly a year later, we received a letter from Carl's sister. She said, "In all the years that our brother, Carl, has been such a trouble to the family, no one has ever shown him any kindness, no one's ever shown him any welcome or warmth. He said, what you did that day was fantastic." She said, "Me and my family noticed that, and I want you to know that we have started going to church." Wow. I thought, God, he's at work, isn't he? And if we're sharing our faith best way we can, God's going to do something with it. And I tell you, I'm back on cloud nine again now, and I'm not so easily knocked off it. Anyway, where were we? Next one, Leona. Thank you. Jesus, friend of sinners. Andy kicked us off in this series. He was talking from Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees, Rumlot the Pharisees, muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." But Jesus wasn't put off. He loves them. Wasn't it wonderful last week when Hugo was talking about the woman at the well in John 4? A woman? A Samaritan? A woman with a very checkered past, a bit like the Eskimo Nell of the Samaritan world, yeah? But Jesus was with her. You will not lock eyes with anyone that God is not passionate about reaching. But how are we going to do it? Hands up if you're here today because someone shouted at you through a bullhorn in Worthing High Street. All right, let's try another tack. Hands up if you were handed a tract while you were shopping and you thought, oh, great, I must become a Christian. Anyone in that? Hands up those people who had faith mentioned to them by somebody they knew. It's relational, isn't it? It's relational. Just a quick flick on, Leona. My experience is it's really hard to share your faith with people you don't know. Why would they listen? Why would they care? Faith sharing, being contagious, evangelism, it's all about building relationships. We have a little motto where I come from. Joe will echo this theme. Let's barbecue first. Before I tell my neighbours about Jesus, I invite them round for a barbecue. I do. No time at all. You get talking about all sorts of stuff.
Actually, and that reminds me, Steve, that, yeah? That David Watson quote, which was, he says, do you love people because you want to convert them? They'll always sniff that one out.
Yeah.
I said, or do you want to convert people because you love them?
Yeah.
You know, there's a big difference in those two things. I'll carry on, you can.
Yeah, okay. Not the way I'm not fazed by Joe. There was a time. Yeah, I shan't be dressing up. No, see, I'm bad enough as I am. But, yeah. It's fueled by love. What do you do Fridays? We've got anyway, the next slide, please, Leona. Let's have a little look about what relational evangelism's all about. It's fueled by love. It's fueled by love. If you, like me, have been wrecked by God's grace, I would expect that just to flow out of you. Every day I think, wow. Look what God did for me, to me. It's unbelievable. If you met me 12 years ago, you'd have met a very different... And now, I'm not saying I'm better than anyone else. No, no. I'm with Martin Luther King on this, you know. I know I'm not the man I could be. I know I'm not the man I should be. But I do thank God I'm not the man I was. I've been wrecked by grace, and my natural overflow is to try and share this with others. And we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world... Yeah? You all know that? But how many of you know 1 John 3:16? This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Yeah? That's what real love is, caring more for others than yourself. I'm not talking about putting yourself down. Don't think less of yourself. Just think of yourself less. Put others first. Don't do this. Don't approach this faith sharing with guilt because I nag you. With excitement because I'm such a powerful speaker. You're so encouraging. But do it because it's fueled by love. God's love for the lost. Love, that key Holy Spirit ingredient that will enable you to be part of the great commission. God and his spirit reaching out to the lost. Fueled by love. Second component, it's authentic. We look at our window. If a man abides in me, he will bear much fruit. It's our genuine relationship with Christ that will cause his love to flow out to others. Joe Aldrich writes, Christians are to be good news before they share good news. Yeah? My experience before I came to faith was I had met a number of Christians who were decidedly not good news. They shared an office with me and they put "thou shalt not" plaques up on the wall. They were not very inviting. We are to be good news. If you have joy and peace and love and patience and kindness, it's irresistible, isn't it? Be good news. Be authentic. We said too that it's natural. I was chatting the week before last about various styles, you know, invitational, testimonial, direct, serving. There were six. Can anyone remember the other two? Oh dear. I know what, I'll repeat that sermon in the gap between the two services for those of you. There were a couple more, weren't there? You know, interpersonal, testimonial. I've already said that. Oh dear. Moving on. Six different styles. One of them, maybe more than one of them, is you, and you will naturally do that. My Karen is just a natural servant. She can't help but help people. It's tremendously powerful. Other people I know are always sharing their stories of what God's done. Who can argue with your story? And it's so natural. You see, God knew what he was doing when he made you. You're not an accident. Your personality, your experiences, your situation, it's all custom crafted by God to reach the people he puts alongside you. And, you know, it's not a mistake that your circle of friends is as it is. God has decided in advance, prepared good works in advance for you to do. That good work, share your faith with the lost. You know, and it's not an accident that you're in this church, a church with a passion to reach its local community. What percentage of Maybridge are Christians? 2%. Not hard to find non-Christians around here, and we're passionate about reaching out to them. Isn't that marvellous? Julie was talking this morning about the old people. I am so relieved. I'm 65 this year, you know, Julie. Do I qualify yet? Yeah, I'm there. Wow, praise the Lord. That's wonderful news. So it's natural. Share your faith in a style. Of course, something smells good.
Oh, yeah.
Whew.
Is it going on?
Yeah.
Can we apologise to any Jews or Muslims?
These are Italian beef burgers from Master Pony. Next thing, sharing your faith, components of relational evangelism, it's verbal. Paul writes to the church in Rome, just to give them a little reminder. He says to them, but how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And then here's the thing. How can they hear without someone telling them, oh, speak the English, or whatever language you're in. You have to use words. We have to live the gospel to gain credibility. It's no good if you're a phony Christian, no one wants to listen to you. But if you're the real deal, you're living out the Christian faith, then you have to speak about it. You use words too. You see, actions without words don't do that. Humanists preach a philosophy of love. Love the poor, love the needy. But they never mention Christ. Why? Because they don't believe in him. Most of their actions are therefore empty without God's spirit. Don't bear the redemptive fruit God wants for his kingdom. Okay, moving on. We're nearly there. Relational evangelism is a process. I try really hard at sharing my faith. I really do. Am I any good at it? I don't know. With God's help, sometimes I have good days. Sometimes I put my foot in it. But one thing I'm grateful for is that when I meet people a long way from Christ, I know that it's not my personal responsibility then and there to answer all their questions, overcome all their doubts and difficulties, and lead them across the line of faith. Yeah? Have you seen that advert for the TV license where a whole life is speeded up? Man sitting opposite a woman. She looks at him, you're gorgeous. He says, you're fantastic, you're breathtaking. Let's get married. Let's have kids. Let's have 4, 6, 8. You're crowding me a bit. Oh, it's not your fault. Yes, it is your fault. Yeah, I want a divorce. I'll have the CDs in your dreams. Do you remember that one? Anyone see? The whole life is speeding up. Well, you don't have to do that when you're sharing your faith. Your job is just to be part of a process. a gentle step-by-step thing. You meet someone a long way from Christ, you might just plant a bit of seed. You might be a good advert for Christ. Leave it there. They'll have other encounters. God will make other opportunities. Paul writes, I planted the seed. Apollos, that's one of his co-workers, watered it. God made it grow. Lots of us are interacting together as a team. Isn't it wonderful that we are a partnership church rather than a membership church? If you're a member in a church, it speaks of singularity. If you're a partner in a church, it speaks of doing things together with God, together with yourself. So that's great. Right, last component of relational evangelism, we are a team. This is linked to the last one, a link chain. There's all kinds of things that you might be. You may be the prayer link. Anyone here on doing Contagious Christianity with me? A few hands. Lovely. Great to see you there. We've started a little thing, haven't we, called an impact list. And every day we're praying for one or two of the people we know who don't know Christ. And we're praying for God to work in their lives, to start opportunities for us, to give us boldness and wisdom what we say. Prayer. They might resist some of our other overtures. They can't resist our prayers. You may be a praying link. You may be an inviting link. One lady who did Alpha with us in the supper invited 17 people to the curry evening. They were all half my age and said, who is that old fogey calling out the numbers? But I loved them. We had some great conversations with them.
Wasn't fogey?
No. I couldn't find the other word in my concordance, so I don't know about fogey. You might be a showing link. You might point people, say, come, you know, we've got a great speaker. You know, a great speaker. You know, we have something coming up, a men's breakfast around, dare I say it in church, the F word. I'm not going to say what it is. I don't want to spoil the surprise. But if you're a man, can you invite a male friend to that? It's going to be a great morning, top full Monty breakfast, the full works, and then a great shared talk to try and inspire people into at least having a little look at Christianity. It won't be cringe-making. It won't be overly pushy. Nice and gentle. Can you be someone that you'll show? Come on. You'll invite someone. You'll show someone. You'll tell someone something. You'll explain something. Someone comes to you and says, I don't understand if there's a God. Why is there so much suffering? You'll have boned up a bit on that, and you'll tell them. Maybe there's no perfect answers to that, we all know, but you'll say, I've got a handle on that. Or you might be a serving link. Let me help you. So powerful that, isn't it, going out to people at their point of need. So, okay, how do you do it? Well, build relationships with people. Please, no rackets. I don't know any non-Christians. We've looked at that already. We think it's a racket. There are people you know who aren't Christians. You don't have to clutter up your busy life. Just invite them round for a meal. Maybe Joe would be on hand.
Bacon sandwich.
A bacon sandwich. I love it, Joe. I love it. People you used to know. I've just gone on Friends Reunited. Anyone know that? The old schoolboy site. All those people I couldn't stand at school have immediately got in touch with me. Isn't that? And all those people I thought I was really popular with, I haven't heard from. It's a bit of a letdown. But I'm slowly reaching out to people I used to know, saying, hey, you never guess what I am now. No, sorry. Yeah, I won't tell you the responses. People we used to know. And people we'd like to know. You could be a bit intentional about that. At Tesco's, I go to the same checkout every time because I'd like to know the cashier better. She says to me, you must have a big family. I say, no, actually, I lead a church. That was when we had Northbrook, and we used to shop for rather a lot of people because we had three meals on a Sunday at church. And so, you know, you get into it. You know, I targeted her, people I'd like to know. So how do you build relationships? Well, first, pray. Here's a little motto for you. Before you try and take God to people, take people to God. Ask him. Who would you like me to reach? Show me how. Will you go ahead of me by your spirit? Soften the ground a bit, because some of it's a bit hard-baked, isn't it, out there? You notice that. Paul writes, pray for us, that's him. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. Before I go into AA meetings, I'm an alcoholic, before I go into AA meetings on a Saturday morning, I pray, God, open the door for my message this morning. I might get something of the gospel in there. AA is a Christian organization in the States. It's anything but in the United Kingdom. Fiercely anti-faith.
I know you're talking about prayer and it's really important, but I would not like this bacon to get overcooked.
Thank you, Joe.
Just mentioning that.
Thank you.
Who wants a bacon sandwich? Okay, keep
going. Joe is taking orders for the bacon sandwiches. Okay. Then you listen to them, you pray for them, you listen to what they've got to say. How many ears you've got? Not a trick question. Anyone awake? Two? How many mouths? Take the hint. Take the hint. Listen to people. Find out about them. Show them you're interested. You know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Listen to them. And as you do, they'll start talking about stuff and you'll say, oh, I've been through that. And God's been great with me on that. I know with me, God's helped me in so many things that I see people in trouble with today. So, build relationships. Last one. Start spiritual conversations. Well done, Joe. Joe will come amongst you now. There may not be 100 bacon sandwiches. We will see. I'll come round with the baskets. Sometimes when you're meeting people, you're building a conversation, you forget an important bit. You forget to get anything spiritual in there. Aren't Manchester United doing well? Isn't that latest Dior fragrance fantastic? Yeah? Don't you just love Andre Agassi's thighs? Karen says that of me, you know, when I've got my whites on, but I digress. Unfortunate, really. Get to the point where you get something spiritual in there. We're not building relationships with people to talk about football all the time. We're talking, getting to know them, not to convert them, but out of love to be able to share with them the good news we have received. I'll close with a story very quickly. Two mates I knew, great friends, went to school together, went to college together, worked for the same firm for a while, played golf together. One of them, Dave, around about mid-20s, he came to faith. He was so excited about it. He went to his mate Tom. Tom, he said, in fact, you won't believe what's happened to me. I've become a Christian. Let me tell you all about it. Tom said, no, I'm not interested, Dave. Don't burden me with that. It's all a load of hocus pocus. It's a crutch for lame brains. I'm just not interested. And furthermore, I'd rather you didn't bring it up. It will jeopardize our friendship if you do. Oh. Dave thought, well, I know what. I'll wait until there's a better moment. You know, I'll wait until... You know, I see my opportunity. He waits, and he waits, and he waits. And the years go by, and they're still playing golf and having the odd beer. And, you know, suddenly, in the early 60s, Tom gets terminal cancer. He's got a couple of weeks, maybe, to live. Tom goes to see him in the hospital. He says, Dave, I can't put this off any longer. This is vitally important. It's absolutely essential that you accept Jesus before you die. It's vital. Dave says, oh, Tom, it can't be that important. You haven't mentioned it for 30 years. When you're talking with people, when you've built a relationship, find ways. They will come up. If you're on Contagious Christianity, we're going to look at that this week. How can you naturally introduce spiritual topics into everyday conversations? It's not difficult. God in his providence is running the whole world. And he's part of it. Before we get into the bacon sandwich, would you mind if we close with a prayer? Now I'm going to hand over to Joe. I think it'd do us all good, Lord, to reflect on the fact that being part of the Great Commission is not some duty that you've tacked onto us, not some onerous requirement. It's a privilege and a joy. Partnering with your Holy Spirit to reach those outside your family. Wow. Help me, Lord, to be properly prepared for the opportunities I will receive. I'm praying now, Lord, for more opportunities, and I'm confident that you will bring them. And being prepared, Lord, means two things, really. It means I am available. I've made room in my schedule to spend time with not yet Christians. But it also means I'm able. And give me the honesty and the commitment to put in the preparation work necessary to share my faith. Maybe I have to do a little bit of research. Maybe I have to think about it, pray a bit harder. But Lord, help me prepare. This is a win-win-win situation. I win, you win through your involvement. It's like getting 1,000 volts sharing your faith. It lifts you spiritually. And then there's your obedience to God. The lost, obviously, they win. They get to hear the great news of Jesus Christ. And most importantly, God wins as we see his kingdom grow. And it's for his glory we pray. Amen. Over to the bacon.
Okay, well, we need to close this service down. But can I just ask, show of hands, who's had a fairly naff week this last week? Show of hands. Who's had a fairly naff week and wants a bacon sandwich? Okay, right, lady over there, it's got ketchup in. I hope that's all right. Anyone else? The reason I'm cooking bacon sandwiches, and some of you know this story, is that when I used to have a proper job, I was working in a design business, and things weren't going so well. In fact, we were having quite a fractious time as a staff as well and everything. And just one day, I had that little moment, I think it was a Holy Spirit moment, that just said, go buy everyone a round of bacon sandwiches. And the power of a bacon sandwich to transform a situation is incredible. I've got one more here. Who else wants a bacon sarnie? Anyone? No one wants a bacon sandwich in a church. Bill, come on. And now, there's not time to do the things I was going to do, but I simply wanted to say this. What Steve's been talking about all morning is this partnership process that God wants to use us, that we're all involved in it, but we all get intimidated sometimes at that actual moment. But what do I say when they say, how do I give my life to Jesus? Well, that you will know what to say. Don't worry about that. The Lord's with you. But actually, this process takes years. I'm still working with people who haven't given their lives to Christ. I've known them 20 years. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I do know this. When they blooming do give their lives to the Lord, it'll be Andy who leads them to the Lord. It won't be, have anything to do with me. He'll get all the credit. And that's exactly as it should be. My job was to get them bacon sandwiches. So, the challenge for you, ladies and gentlemen, and here it comes. This is a £10 note. I know it's a lot of money. Not everyone can afford £10. But what I'd really like you to think about this week is, would you consider investing in your own evangelistic strategy this week? You have a £10 budget. If you don't have £10, come see me or Steve. We'll sort you out one way or another. And what I'd like you to do with your £10 is, whether that means buying cake ingredients and cooking someone a cake, whether it means getting a round of bacon sarnies for your friends at work, or taking someone for a coffee, or taking them for lunch, just invest your resources. That's £10. Steve's already said pray. You can do that, and that won't cost you anything except your time. And let's really get serious about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we close this service down in a minute with a prayer, but with this final thought, will you invest £10 this week in your own evangelistic strategy, whatever that looks like for you? Let's pray. Thanks, Dad. So, Lord, thank you for the wonderful reserves and resources you've given to us. Thank you that you love us, and we just want that love that you've shown to us to overflow out of our lives into other people's a bit. Help us to go around with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with love in our hearts for those that you bring across our path. And Lord, help us to know what's a good use of £10 this week if we can afford it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thank you so much. We have to be out quite quickly.